The Athletic.
On Sunday, Bayer Leverkusen won the first league title in their 120-year history, and the celebrations were wild. Still to play for this season, a potential treble, and a chance to go the entire season unbeaten. But is Xabi Alonso staying enough to keep this squad together next season? Is it still even possible for this team to go to the next level and break into Europe's elite? Or is this as good as it gets for Leverkusen? I'm Joachim Molere. Welcome to the Athletic FC podcast. Joining us today, we have the Athletic's German football writers, Raphael Honigstein, and also Seb Stafford-Bloor as well. Seb, you were at the Bayer Arena on Sunday for Leverkusen's 5-0 win over Werder Bremen, which actually won them the title for the first time in their history with five games to spare. Right, give us some insight on the atmosphere.
I suppose the experience inside the stadium is pretty wild. Obviously, it was coming. Obviously, Florian Wirtz scored his second goal, and couple of fans had a go at a first pitch invasion, and then when he scored his hat-trick goal, I think everybody just accepted the inevitable. And it was wonderful just to watch the individual people in the crowd. Like, beyond a certain point, you couldn't really pick out individuals because there were so many people on the pitch. But there's so many different emotions, and so, you know, obviously, depending on how old you are as a Leverkusen fan, you've had a very different life as a supporter, and you've experienced some pretty bitter disappointments. Also, of course, you've been holding on to some of those disappointments for the better part of two decades, or a better part of a quarter of a century, really. And so to be there was wonderful. I think what will stay with me, I, is being down in the mix zone afterwards when the players came back. And yes, there were some interviews and so on. There was some of the usual formality that you see in that situation. But really, it was more players chasing each other with massive glasses of beer. Victor Boniface is an absolute menace, drenching teammates left and right. But also, there are a lot of families down there. So you saw a lot of the people who have contributed to getting these players to that moment in their career. For some of them, they may never win a title again. They may never have that moment. They may never be part of something which has been quite this special. So it's a real sort of summit of Everest moment. And there were mothers and fathers. A couple of players were there with infant children. It was very touching. And anyone who spent time in the mix zone will know that it's pretty sterile. It's pretty organized. Rarely does anything happen that's remarkable or interesting or even really reportable. But I think the walls came down, and it was a real privilege to see that, to see the humanity in the game, and also to see what it meant to the players, but also what it meant to the people in the background. And also, you know, some of the staff at Leverkusen, you obviously, quite rightly, Xabi Alonso, Simon Rolls, Fernando Caro have received great credit and praise for what they've achieved. But you see the people who are involved in the day-to-day, photographers and people who work in the office and people who order, you know, erasers and pencils and, you know, who make sure that the kit is in the right place at the right time. And all of those people were there too, drinking their beers and having a great time. And what a privilege to be there.
Raf, you know, they're not Leverkusen anymore, are they? I mean, look, it's finally happened. Can you just give us a sense of how significant this is for Bayer Leverkusen? Seb's alluded to the historical aspects of things, but also for the Bundesliga as well. This is quite profound.
Well, first of all, I think for the Bundesliga and German football, it's great news. It challenges the narrative that the league is gone, that no one can do anything against Bayern's dominance. It shows what can be done with clever scouting, with picking the right manager, with a bit of patience. And, you know, Leverkusen, they have money. It's not a total fairy tale that they've come from nowhere. There's support from the biopharmaceutical company. They've been regulars in the Champions League not that long ago. But they've spent the money so much better than, say, Dortmund or Leipzig, to say nothing of the traditional giants like Hamburg or maybe Köln, even going back a few years, that should be challenging Bayern but have fallen by the wayside. So I think everyone will feel That's great news for the Bundesliga and for German football. For Leverkusen, of course, it scratches an historic itch. They trademarked the name Vizekusen, which is sort of runners-up, second Kusen. And now it's not going to be worth much as a trademark anymore because they've gone and changed their identity. And they've come to stand something very different. They will forever be associated with possibly an unbeaten season, something that's never been done. Certainly for winning their first ever trophy, could well be a double. They're nailed on to win the double, really. And maybe a treble. Because if Liverpool get knocked out in the Europa League, I think Leverkusen will be out and out favourites to win the competition. So this is not over. And finally, I don't think this is going to be just a season. Bayern are in transition. They will need a new coach. Dortmund might well be in transition and might well need a new coach. Leipzig are not consistent. Stuttgart are very young and they're going to find it really hard to stay the course. So with Leverkusen sticking together and the main people all being there next year, with the possible exception of Jeremy Frimpong, I don't see any reason why they shouldn't win the league again. So this is not the end. This is not a one-off. This might be the beginning of something that will be sustained for a little bit longer.
Yeah, I mean, I want to definitely talk about that later on in the pod because I'm fascinated by how Xabi Alonso gets these boys ready again for another season, especially with all the expectation of what's happened this season in general. But Seb, let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to how this all kind of started, really. Xabi Alonso comes in and you've put together a group of players that don't really know each other that well, if you think about it, with a lot of exits and also additions to the team. How on earth did he get them singing in the same tune? Pre-season, for instance, was there anything there that we heard of or have seen that perhaps Xabi Alonso's little je ne sais quoi started bringing this team together to believe?
Yeah, there was definitely an energy about their pre-season. I was at their camp in Austria and it was intense, hard, tough. Alonso sort of, I know obviously he was a little bit of a stroller in midfield. He was very composed, quiet, assuring presence. But on the training ground, he's a bit more aggressive, a bit more forthright. And you could see that the way that they were preparing, that there was something about it. I spoke to Jeremy Frimpong a couple of days before that game against Werder Bremen. And we talked about the preseason. We also talked about how exactly that, you bring in new parts. You also lost really important players. People forget now that Musa Diaby moved to Aston Villa. And you could probably argue that he was their most important player the year before. And he said the big difference under Alonso, the thing that made the most impact was he knows how to use players. He knows how to use players' strengths really well. So for Jeremy, that was obviously, attacking space and being in the right position at the right time and final ball and all those kind of things. But he said, if you ask anybody in this team, he would say exactly the same thing. His ideas, the things that he wants to get across, he's incredibly good at getting them across and making sure people understand what their role is in the team, even if they are new. So if like you're coming into a team, then you're equipped with all these things that you need just to drop straight in and to contribute from the get-go. And I think that was evident in their preseason, certainly early in their Bundesliga season. I remember going to, they had a friendly against West Ham at the Bay Arena a couple of weeks before the season, and they absolutely battered West Ham and they looked fantastic. And the cohesion, even with players like Victor Boniface, who had never played in Germany before, let alone for Leverkusen, came in, scored a fantastic goal that day, was immediately knitting the attack together. Jonas Hoffmann looked brilliant with his set pieces. It really was impressive and instantly so. And I think if you speak to some of the players, Jeremy Frimpong certainly said this, that they knew from a very, very early stage, this is going to go well. I don't think anybody knew it was going to go quite this well. I think no one would publicly say that, but clearly they were heading in the right direction and it had an awful lot to do with Alonso's methods, Alonso's quality of communication.
Yeah, Raf, in terms of, Simon Rolfs and the people at Leverkusen wanting to bring Xabi Alonso, into Leverkusen to be the coach. I mean, what did they spot in this man? It's easy to say, wow, what a maestro now, but were there already ingredients there that they were saying, actually, if we want to get this team to the next level, this is our guy?
Well, Xabi Alonso had a reputation as a coach well before he was a coach because of his charisma because of the way he carried himself, the way he talked about football. I think towards his latter stages of his career, Bayern, people already begin to sort of put one and one together and realize this guy's going to be a coach. And Borussia Mönchengladbach with Max Eberl tried to make him their coach a couple of years earlier. And he perhaps very wisely said, I don't feel quite ready. I'm going to need a bit more time learning this at a lower level, and turned them down. But when Leverkusen came a little bit later, he felt he was ready. And them having a Spanish CEO and Fernando Caro, I think, added another layer of connection that helped them realize that he was going to be the right man. And the close working relationship between those three people, the two Spaniards and Rolfes, helped make this a real success. Rolfes and Alonso did everything together. They decided, okay, we need somebody like Granit Xhaka. Oh, let's go and see if Granit Xhaka himself is available. So they flew to London, they talked to him, and they used a great line saying, we don't have to scout you. We don't look at the videos because we both played against you on the pitch. We know how good you are. That's a pretty good way to get somebody in, I think. And I think it also helps that both of them, Rolfes and Xabi Alonso, were central midfielders. I think they have a way of understanding football, a way of understanding how the game works that looks a little bit beyond the immediate vicinity, and it looks at the bigger picture because they both play like that. Of course, Alonso with a lot more talent than Rolfes. But I think it made them very good planners, strategists in understanding what the squad needs, how they need to change things, how they can put things together. But I'm sure all of them, to go back to Seb's point, wouldn't have realized just how good, and I include Alonso in this, how good Alonso already is as a manager, how quickly he was able to steady the ship, first of all, in the first season, make them defensively solid, a counter-attacking side, but then add this whole layer of possession football on top, which is the bedrock of their dominance. I think he surprised himself and everyone else along the way.
Raph alluded to it there in terms of these players that they've brought in. I mean, also slightly older, if you think in terms of profile. Xhaka, of course, Hoffman, 31 years old. Grimaldo, not too old, but 27. He's played football for a fair bit before he comes here. How important has that experience been to sort of steady the ship and maybe get them over the line, away from sort of the naivety of the past?
Yeah, vital. I think what's really interesting, Ayu, is if you look back at last season, when they lost that Europa League game, Europa League knockout semi-final against Roma, the second leg, when they were the better side, created the better chances, but emotionally they kind of toiled against Jose Mourinho's antics and everything that happened that night, and they sort of emotionally combusted. I remember speaking to Rolfes ahead of that training camp, and he said, we needed to kind of adjust the chemistry of our dressing room. We needed to rebalance it a little bit. And I think if you look at what happened following their arrival, there are so many times when you can attribute a critical contribution to someone like that. Grimaldo is a very obvious point because it was very literal. I think one of the biggest moments Leverkusen's season was his free kick equaliser in Munich.
Does seem to be Grimaldo looking for a first Bundesliga goal. Has he got anything? Oh, he's got everything! That is a fabulous, fabulous goal to put Leverkusen back to 1-1.
When they'd gone down to that cheap Harry Kane goal early, you could almost feel everybody's sigh going, oh, okay, well, yeah, they're quite good. But, you know, when it comes down to it, they're just going to be another Borussia Dortmund. Grimaldo continued that form throughout the rest of the season. He might have the best quality of goal average across anyone in Europe. He's got some fabulous goals this season. But then you look at someone like Xhaka, and I think, again, referenced like something that Jeremy Frimpong said to me, which was that he is very much one of the boys. He's great fun to be around, but he has a very serious side, and he knows when to be serious. And also for some of these young players, players like Granit Xhaka brought matchcraft. So they know when to take a foul. They know when to commit a foul. They know when the game has to be slowed down or even stopped. They know when there are problems that need addressing. And I think for young players who are still learning the game, and I think that's something that's been lost, there's so many people there that are just still learning like their way into kind of top level professional football. Having a Xhaka there who has been around and is kind of almost a statesman of the game in a way, it's invaluable. And I think in the abstract sense, any time there was a moment this season where you thought, oh, Leverkusen are going to have a bit of a creak, they're not going to be able to find a little bit of momentum, I think you don't have to look too hard to find one of those players, Xhaka, Grimaldo, Hoffman, at the root of a little revival or a kind of a regeneration momentum. And so I don't think any of this happens without particularly Xhaka, but all three of them really.
Yeah, and Raf, I was just thinking about how many times Leverkusen this season looked like they were either going to get beaten or and they've managed to draw a game or win it. I'm thinking Karabag. Those two legs in the Europa League were so insane because Karabag started so well and you're thinking, right, the wheels are falling off and then Leverkusen get the result again. Maybe even that Stuttgart game, was it Stuttgart they played in the DFB Pokal? And it was so close. 90th minute goal. Again, they get it over the line. That experience, that steel in the middle of players like Xhaka, for instance, to be able to connect them both midfield and the attacking, but also give a fighting spirit that perhaps they haven't had in the past. How important do you think that has been?
Yeah, it's hugely important. I think it's also a function of their belief in the system because they understand that they will create chances. They don't panic. They don't just suddenly start lumping it and, you know, just flooding the box and just playing crazy football. Although they have done it at times as well, if necessary. But like any good team or any very good team, it's become a self-enhancing dynamic where they understand that they will create chances. They stay calm. They create chances. They win games. That breeds more confidence and so on and so on. And because they haven't had any real setbacks, they just go from, of course we're going to win, to of course we're going to win, to yes, we'll find a way and win the next game as well. And it's quite remarkable, really, to see a team that, yes, has a bit of experience, but it doesn't have experience of players who've been at the super highest level. You know, it's not suddenly filled with Sergio Ramos and, I don't know, Lionel Messi and Bastian Schweinsteiger, all these guys. These are guys who have won trophies with FC Basel when we speak about Xhaka. These are people who have done decent things with Borussia Mönchengladbach, but not win big trophies there. So I think a lot of it has rubbed off from Alonso. He has done it all. He is the one guy who's got the experience of winning everything there is to win. And I think he's been able to instill that confidence, that winning mentality into his team. And I think beyond the coaching, beyond the tactical and technical stuff, that's probably his greatest achievement, to turn a group of players that were largely known for a little bit being a little bit flimsy and a little bit inconsistent, as players usually are when they're this age at this time of their career. And through the additions of one or two players, but also I think through his work, has changed the mentality of this team. And as a result, the mentality and identity of the whole club. I mean, that's how big this achievement is.
Beating Bayern Munich must give you a little swagger, must make you feel, do you know what? This is it, lads. We've not been beaten by him so far. But actually, the swagger of being able to beat the champions, 11 times champions in a row, must have a little something to make you feel like you've got something this season.
Yeah, I completely agree. Also, especially so if you don't actually play that well that night. I think Leverkusen were very good. I don't think that 3-0 was the result of an outstanding Leverkusen performance. I've certainly seen them play better. In retrospect, it created this perception that they were playing at slightly different levels. I mean, Leverkusen's chance creation, their ability to move the ball with so much creativity and in ways which were so unpredictable, it reinforced this idea, I think, that no one in Germany really had an answer for them. Actually, no one in Europe has had an answer for them yet either, obviously, because they're unbeaten. But particularly when you face Bayern and you dismantle them so much. And you also, everyone remembers how angry Thomas Müller was at the end of that game with his own players. But within the context of what he said, there's a great deal of respect to about what Leverkusen had been and what they represented and the joy that they played with. And it actually, it underscores the point that Rafa just made about, well, if a lot of good things happen to you and you know you're going to create chances, you don't have to panic when you find yourself in adverse situations. And I think there was no greater source of momentum for them in the second half of the season, obviously, than that Bayern game. And yeah, it was tremendously powerful. And if you look back now at the celebrations that followed Jeremy Frimpong's goal, the one where he wasn't really chased by Manuel Neuer, was he? Manuel Neuer just stood there and watched. But I think it was a sort of, it was a coronation moment, and it was a, it underscored just how good they were too. And there was no more of that. I think that was a moment probably when they detached from their past, when people stopped thinking, okay, when's the big collapse going to come? When are we going to see exactly what we saw in 2000 against Uddhacking, or 2002, you know, in that trio of second places? I think everyone just thought, it's when the conversation died away. So that had to be hugely important too.
Raf, how's this gone down in Munich? They've already conceded the league. I mean, that was such a weird, hearing that coming out of Bayern Munich was really strange for me, because you'd always inevitably feel that they'll come back, or feel like, and they conceded the league so early.
Yeah, they conceded it early, or Thomas Tuchel did more specifically, because they knew the game was up. And I think for once they couldn't pretend otherwise. I think Thomas Müller a few weeks ago said, let's give ourselves a chance to somehow get lucky, or maybe for Leverkusen to fall into their old habits. But I don't think his heart was really in it either. Bayern understood that they were themselves too inconsistent to keep up with the perfect team that Leverkusen have been. And you could see from the reactions, from the congratulations, that there's no real ill will towards this team. I think Bayern understood that first and foremost, they weren't at the races. They weren't good enough to do it. And I don't sense a great animosity or even great sort of begrudging, as it were, towards the title. Bayern will have to reboot. They'll have to start again with a new manager, or with an old manager, if Julian Nagelsmann comes back. And they'll do so knowing that Leverkusen, I think, will be once again the team to beat. And that is a novel situation, because when Dortmund did it in 2011, everyone thought this is a one-off. This was a very young Dortmund team. Bayern ran into some trouble in their second season with Louis van Gaal. Everyone thought they will never possibly win again, and they surprised everyone. I think this is different. This is Bayern taking them very, very seriously. And it will be good news, I think, for them and the rest of the league, because it'll force Bayern to work harder. I think the great tragedy, if you will, for this Bayern team has been that they've been winning when they weren't very good in recent years. And I think that is bad for your development. That is bad for your motivation. And ultimately, it catches up with you, which it did this season. It should have done last season already. And it forces them to make big changes. And I'm sure they will emerge stronger as a result, but it might take some time. And that time will be Leverkusen's to utilize.
You're listening to the Athletic FC podcast with Ayo Akinwolere.
Let's move on, because there's a piece that both of you contributed to, which is now on The Athletic, on how Bayer Leverkusen won the Bundesliga this season. There's a line in it that really caught my eye. You know, Leverkusen will celebrate the first league title in their 120-year history tonight, but with a degree of restraint. The prospect of immortality demands it. I don't know who wrote it out of the two.
Hey, that's Rafa. That's Rafa.
Is that right? I knew it that was Rafa. Rafa. I didn't want to say it, but real talk, there's still a lot of work to do, Rafa. You know, the potential of the treble, of course. The Europa League definitely would be really interesting for Leverkusen this season.
I almost feel a little bit sorry for Leverkusen that within the pandemonium of Sunday, that there was this sort of nagging voice with the players, with the staff, saying, calm down, you know, let's not get completely smashed. We need to be sober by the time the West Ham game comes on Thursday. In normal years, or under normal circumstances, they would have now gone 3 days AWOL. But they know that there is more to do. And Alonso is that type of character, even within the celebrations, that you could almost read his mind. He's already thinking about Thursday. He's already thinking, I hope that they don't demolish the pitch too much. We still need it. We want to play good football. We need the stadium to be in a good condition. We need the goal nets to be fully functioning. You could see that he's got bigger things on his mind yet. And I think that at the same time is bodes so well for this team, because the coach always sets the tone. And when you have a coach who is so focused, so professional, and already thinking what is the next thing, what else can we win? This is a historic chance. Let's not spoil it. Then I think, again, that will rub off on the team. And Leverkusen, I'm sure, will be in perfect state and extra determined and motivated to go further when they have their next game against West Ham on Thursday.
Still unbeaten this season, 43 games, 38 victories, 5 draws. Their last defeat was 27th of May 2023. I mean, just fathom that. That's absolutely insane. I just can't get that through my head. There's history here.
We talked earlier about the importance of the experienced players and Alonso's profound effect on this side. I think a big factor here is the influence of some of the players from the margins of the squad, some of the players who were able to step in. For instance, Patrick Schick recovering when Victor Boniface headed off to AFCON but then got injured. Josip Stanisic's contribution, obviously in that very literal way, against Bayern Munich, which didn't obviously go down all that well in Bavaria. Players like Nathan Teller too. Like, I spoke to Nathan on Sunday night and said, in the last 30 months, you've gone from playing in the championship to moving country to becoming a title winner in a major European league. And he's a very charming guy, and he's very eloquent to speak to, and he's very grounded. But you could see it was kind of this, his world has moved so, so quickly around him at the same time. Like, he's moved, but he's been able to adapt. And Nathan Teller was absolutely brilliant in that Bayern Munich game in Leverkusen, that 3-0. He's been very versatile. He's been able to cover holes all over the pitch, which has meant that players will always cycle in and out of form. We all know this, right? It's inevitable. You can never change that. But as and when that's happened, as and when a little bit of fatigue has crept in or a little bit of bad form, perhaps there's been somebody else that's been able to step in and give a performance of equivalent quality. And that has happened in every area of the pitch. This is why I don't think you can do this without a squad that does that. And it's not about having, you know, 40 players, each cost 50 million. It's having 15 to 20, you all know their roles so well that the side never misses a step. And I think, yes, clearly that's about management. We've already talked about how important it is to have a coach who communicates very well. That is squad architecture too, because that's how teams plan. They look at worst case scenarios. They look at what happens when you lose a bunch of players to AFCON, or when you have a player who perhaps plays at his highest level for four months out of six during a season. And that's really the kind of the breadth of success we're talking about, because that's a very rare situation in football. You don't often have a lack of drop-off within a season. And that to me is miraculous. And I hope that's what, if they do end up winning a treble, I hope that's how this becomes framed, because that's, in my mind, that's how it should be.
This is the Athletic FC podcast with Ayo Akinwalere.
I try to respect everyone. I try to take my own decisions, try that they are the right ones. And now I feel that this is the right one to keep in this club, to keep improving and developing. And at the moment, it feels right to be here. I'm really happy. And you see, I have, the club is great. Fans are great. The players are unbelievable. So many reasons.
Right, let's move on to what the future might look like for Xabi Alonso, because Rafa, we've spoken about it before. Turning down all those opportunities that looked like they were presented to him and staying at Leverkusen. One, it's an incredible statement of his conviction to the cause, but you've got to think it's got to be tempting, you know, to be offered the jewels of Liverpool and potentially Bayern Munich and to say no to that.
Yeah, I'm sure he was tempted, but at the same time, he's shown in his short managerial career that he's willing to do the unexpected thing. And I think it takes actually a lot of courage to turn down these big clubs and say, no, I'm not ready yet. I feel my story with Leverkusen isn't ready yet. It also perhaps is a reflection on where Bayern and Liverpool stand vis-a-vis Leverkusen. I mean, it sounds like a ridiculous thing to say, but look at the amount of work that Bayern will need in the summer to be competitive. Look at how hard it would be, I think, to squeeze out the same kind of performance levels that Klopp has done from Liverpool, where a lot of players are perhaps also not at the very top end of European football, but he's been able to motivate them, to get them together in a way that perhaps is a hard act to follow. And then you have Leverkusen, the team that wins, the team that will strengthen, everyone's happy, everyone loves each other. Domestically, there will once again be a real favorite to win things. Even in the Champions League, I think they can play a fantastic role. So it might not just be a case of him saying, I'm not ready yet. It might also be a case of him saying, I'm actually more likely to have success, at least in the short run, for another year or two there, than going into these unknowns to Liverpool and Bayern, when I can still do that in a couple of years' time, when they perhaps are in a better position, and when the Real Madrid job might be open up. So I think, even though I think I said on the spot he'd be crazy to turn down Liverpool, the more I think about it, I think there are actually solid reasons for doing what he's done. And I'm sure, having looked at all his decisions before and how he got them right, I wouldn't bet against him getting it right yet another time.
Seb, I almost don't want to ask this question because I want Leverkusen fans to really enjoy this season and what's unfolding with it. But I mean, what would ambitions look like next season for Leverkusen? And, you know, is this a squad ready to challenge for the Champions League, for instance?
Yeah, I think they have to be taken seriously. I also don't expect the squad to be ripped apart. I know that's been the prevailing narrative, is that, oh, season's ending and, you know, everyone will be sold off. I expect very few departures. I expect, for instance, they will return almost everyone. I mean, maybe Jeremy Frimpong moves on, but, you know, they have a young Brazilian fullback called Arthur, who they think very highly of, who's there and ready to kind of step in if that happens and evolve into a very good player in his own right. I think also, if you look at some of the minor detail of this season, one of the interesting factors has been what might they have done had Victor Boniface been available to them all the way through the year? Because I think the way their attacking players revolve around him, I think we saw some of this on Sunday against Bremen. Boniface is a fabulous player and they've been without him for months. So keep him fit, maybe add a couple of players. No doubt those arrivals are already being worked on now. But I think also that there's nothing yet which suggests that Leverkusen won't be, again, comfortably the best team in Germany next season. I also think bear with me because it's going to be a bit tenuous. I think this is also very good news for Bayern Munich, because Rafa mentioned it earlier and talked about how they've been able to get away with getting worse and worse, but still remain champions. I think this season hammered home just how big the reconstruction project has to be. And you look at what they've already done behind the scenes. New board director for sport, new technical director, new coach coming in the summer. And that's before you start talking about the deficiencies in the squad. And it's the moment that Bayern have probably needed for quite a few years. And it creates this incredible storyline at the top of German football, which, if you compare it a little bit to, let's say, for instance, the rivalry between Manchester City and Liverpool and how high the quality got as a result of the competition between the two, it's very easy to see Leverkusen profiting from exactly the same sort of relationship, potentially. And if that bleeds into performances in the Champions League, fantastic. And it's good for German football as a whole to have that too. I'm really excited about next season. I can't wait. And it's a very strange thing to say. I can't wait to see how Bayern rise to the challenge of Bayer Leverkusen. I almost can't. Hearing that out loud feels very strange. But it's still true. And it will be... Unlike Bayern Munich, who've been able to coast a little bit over the next few years, Leverkusen know Bayern are coming, right? There's no margin for dropping off your processes or becoming any less precise. So, yeah, they have to be taken extremely seriously in any competition that they take part in next year.
Do they have to worry about players leaving necessarily? I know we spoke about the Brazilians like Zé Roberto, Lucio, started life at Bayer Leverkusen. I think Vidal as well started up Bayer Leverkusen as well, not Brazilian, but South American.
Mikel Balak.
Balak as well. You know, this is a team that's winning. This is a team that's at the top. And also, what's to say that if a player does leave this Leverkusen setup, they're going to be good elsewhere? You know, it's a different setup. Are they going to be as special? And do they have to worry about that?
They'll always have to worry about it a little bit, because if you're a footballer and you have 10 years to maximize your income and you're on, let's say, 3 million euros and somebody offers you 9, the club can only say no so many times before you're going to say, but hold on, I mean, when I moved here, you promised me that one day I can go on, that I didn't have to finish my career here on 3 million euros a year. So it is part of the deal, in a way, that these players can eventually leave. Leverkusen will try to keep most of them. Leverkusen, I think, will succeed in keeping most of them. The key man, I think, will stay. I would include in that Alonso, Rolfes, Xhaka, and Wirtz. I think there's a chance that Frimpong might leave. He has a release clause. Seb knows more about that than I do. Maybe one or two players more, but I think that's it. And if you see how Leverkusen have dealt with losing supposedly big players like Leon Bailey, Moussa Diaby, and have only really improved as a result, then I'm not really worried that much. They will be, I think, adding two or three really, really good players, keeping that balance between youth and experience, playing in the Champions League. And with Alonso being there, I don't have any doubt that standards will be maintained. Finally, one more point. I think they might get lucky in the sense that it looks as if the market might be fairly depressed this summer because the English team's problems with PSR, that has a huge knock-on effect because they drive all the deals, especially for players at this kind of level. You'd expect Premier League clubs to be all over them. So with that being perhaps less of a factor, I think Leverkusen will also find it easier to keep the team together. And I don't see any big changes in the summer.
Let's end it there. And Seb, Raf, thanks so much for your time. And don't forget to rate and review the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We are back tomorrow.
The Athletic.